hosts, Lord of hosts, we worship you in spirit and truth. Oh, Lord of hosts, we worship you in the temple. Hallelujah, we worship you in your temple. Amen. As the words go forth, Father, let these words bring forth life in us. Let it cause an increase in the awareness of the Son of God in us. To you be all the glory. Amen. Now, today we are going to be talking about the act of worship. What does it mean to worship the Lord? And how can we worship the Lord? Who is a worshiper? Who is a person who worships the Lord? The worshiper is the one who adores the Lord. Amen. Who serves the Lord? Who does things to please the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. And in the days of old, you know, the Hebrews, those are the Jews, were thought of as the people who really knew what true worship was all about. You see, but the appearance of Jesus on the scene dispelled all the idea that true worship belonged actually to a particular sect of people upon the face of the earth called the Jews. Of course, spiritually speaking, there is a group of people who are the Jews today. Amen. We will look into all that today. But let us understand that true worship was actually introduced at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us quickly turn to John chapter 4 and read about this famous encounter. Amen. Famous encounter with a woman from Samaria which Jesus Christ had. Hallelujah. This is a conversation that happened between Jesus by a well. Amen. And it is a very powerful scripture because the root, you know, of that which we seek for is all hidden in this particular piece of scripture. Amen. Of course, John had met this, Jesus had met this woman at the well. And, you know, had given, you know, had, you know, asked for water, that the lady give him a cup of water. You know? And of course, Jesus Christ later on told her that if she knew who she was talking with, she would ask for the true water. Hallelujah. The real water, eternal waters, flowing from the eternal source. Amen. She will ask for that water from him so that he can give her, and as she drinks of that water, she shall never thirst again. Amen. That means she shall never be in want again. She shall never be in lack again. Hallelujah. She passes from the realm of want, of lack, of poverty, of tests, into a realm of perfect peace and satisfaction. Hallelujah. Amen. Understand that this is the way actually God created Adam in the beginning. You see, I love Adam very much. You know, I love the story in the Garden of Eden very much, because you discover that the Garden of Eden has virtually all the truths about our origin, our destination, you know, and the salvation of God is all packed up in that, in those first chapters in Genesis. You can see that Adam was planted in that place by that well of living water. Adam was actually planted because the Bible says that out of the place where he was, out of the garden, flowed the river. Amen. It was a source. Hallelujah. It is a well, eternal well of life. And that the river that flowed from that point, that, you know, that rose out of that point in the garden, parted into four ways. Hallelujah. And I tell you, those waters, amen, are the waters that make it glad the heart. Amen. It talks about the gushing, flowing knowledge of the living God. The gushing, conscious, flowing knowledge of the living God. Amen. And when you are in that place, you can lack no more. Amen. Adam lived in the bosom, in the garden of Eden, in God's garden of pleasure. It was the place of paradise. Amen. A place where he lacked nothing, where he needed not to fear, think of tomorrow, where he needed not to toil. He was in a state of perfect rest because of the gushing knowledge. He was covered with the knowledge of the love of God. That flowing river, that well, hallelujah, it flows continuously from the depths of God, hallelujah, flowing and flowing, giving you a conscious awareness of the love of God and your oneness with God, hallelujah. The moment that water flows, the moment Adam was cut off from the source of that river, the moment he was cut off from the well, what happens is that what? He finds himself in a wilderness. Why? Because he loses a consciousness of the living God. He now finds himself alone to suffer and to sweat and to, you know, to toil and to make ends meet. Amen. And things never work out again. He begins to eat thorns, thistles, sweat, pain, fear, torment. Hallelujah. And the devil rules over him. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll get back to that in a moment. So Jesus Christ is here now to restore us back to that place, or rather to restore us out of that water to drink, where we can drink once more out of that water, out of that deep well of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord came to do. In one of the feasts in the days of old, Jesus Christ stood up among the congregation, among the people in the feast, and said that he that thirsts, let him come, that he will give them of the water of life, amen, so that, you know, the rivers of life will begin to flow from within. Hallelujah. It is the source of our life, the eternal well of Jacob, the eternal well of God, is the well that sinks right down into the heart of God. Amen. Whereby we begin to see and have an awareness of the living God. Every test, every hunger, every lack, and everything that you ever need will come out from that place. Amen. Now, when Jesus Christ went further, hallelujah, the woman now in verse 19, John chapter 4 verse 19, we're now going back to the Samaritan woman. Jesus said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship ye what ye know not what, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Amen. For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh sought to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all truth. Jesus said unto her, I that speak to thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Amen. Now let us listen carefully to these words. Amen. You see, Jesus Christ demonstrates, hallelujah, from this particular scripture, that he had come to introduce what true worship is. Amen. When he says that true worship and salvation is of the Jews. Amen. Listen here. He's not talking of the Jews in Jerusalem, on the physical, in the Hebrews down there on the earth today. No. Amen. He was talking from the heavenlies. Hallelujah. He was talking from the Father's kingdom. Amen. Because the true worshippers, hallelujah, are those actually, or rather, the true Jews are those who operate from God's kingdom. Amen. That woman represented a Gentile, which is somebody of this world who is cut off from the knowledge of the living God. While Jesus Christ represented the true Jew, he represented one from the heavenly Jerusalem. So we see an encounter here with the heavenly man and the woman that is of the earth. Hallelujah. And what happens? Jesus Christ says, you know not what you worship. You do not know what you worship. Amen. But I'm come now to show you what true worship is. I have come now to introduce you into true worship so that you may taste of the salvation that is ours, that is the salvation that is of the Jews, the salvation that is from God's kingdom. You will taste of it as I teach you what true worship is. Hallelujah. What men do in this age, in this physical carnal world, amen, what people call worship is only ignorance. Amen. They do these things because the mind is darkened, not having an understanding of the true and living God. Amen. All forms of theories, all forms of religion, hallelujah, all forms of concepts have been, you know, erected right from the, you know, from the fall of man in the garden. All in an attempt to please God, or all in an attempt to serve God, men have actually formed all methods. Hallelujah. But the hour has come now, and it now is. Hallelujah. As we hear the voice of truth, amen, we begin to comprehend what true worship is all about. Amen. Worship has got nothing to do with your physical, you know, composure. Amen. It has got nothing to do with the timings on this physical canal plane. It has got nothing to do with geographical locations. It has got nothing to do with going there or going there, or coming here or coming there. No. Worship is a purely spiritual act that we're going to discover in a minute. Hallelujah. Amen. It is not when you wake up at so and so at a particular time of the night to face a particular direction, or to do a, or you know, or to perform a particular gesture that you are worshiping. If you go to some parts of Asia, you see some strange traditions. Amen. How men, you know, how do I put it? They manipulate their body in such a way. They call it, I don't know, some kind of, they go through a kind of torturous, you know, processes, thinking that they are worshiping God. Some people face a certain direction, thinking that God is in that direction, and they're worshiping God. Some people worship God at a particular hour of the day, or some particular times in the day. Amen. Some people feel that you have to close your eyes. That when you close your eyes, it means you are worshiping God. Some people feel that you might have to go to a building which people call churches. Amen. And unless you are in a building, unless you do not go to those buildings, you are not a worshiper of God. You know? So you can see man in his attempt to search for God, hallelujah, has actually, you know, been ensnared into a lie. Amen. Now let's quickly read a letter by, you know, what Paul wrote to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 16. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat, in drink, or in respect of an holiday, or of the holy of the new moon, or Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruding into these things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increased with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to satisfying of the flesh. Not in any honor to the satisfying of flesh. Amen. You see it? There are many, many doctrines. Don't taste, don't handle, don't do this, do it that way. Don't eat pig. Don't wear this. Cover your face. And all these things are rudiments. Hallelujah. Doctrines of men. Traditions of men. Hallelujah. Who are blinded from the truth, and in their attempt, you know, to serve God, have actually formulated all these rituals. Hallelujah. Whether we know it or not, even the traditional Sabbaths, the traditional religions, the traditional ordinances that we saw in the Old Testament with the Hebrews, we are all shadows. Listen, just read it carefully. What the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians. Read the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians. You see, he's saying here that the new moon and all those, you know, things, those rites that were performed in the Old Testament were only a shadow of what? Of the things to come in Christ, in the body of Christ. Amen. Understanding that worship has got nothing to do with all these things that we see men do. Hallelujah. God is not there. Amen. No matter how big and beautiful those churches or those temples that they build, no matter how big and beautiful on the outward they look, God is not in their midst. They do not have a knowledge of what they are worshiping. They worship what they do not know. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us understand, from the moment that man slipped away from God's realm in the garden, or rather God's paradise, when man transgressed in the beginning, the worship of God ceased. Man ceased to worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. To worship God is to please God, is to adore Him. You see, but when man partook of the lie in the garden, what happened is that the worship of God ceased. Amen? So what you've been seeing over the years up to the time of Jesus, It's only the worship of idols. They worship what they do not know. Amen. Elijah worshiped what he did not know. Moses worshiped what he did not know. None of them had a revelation of what true worship is. These men served and were used as instruments for the building of the house of God, but in reality, they were not complete without us. They are complete now as they begin to hear the word of God coming in this hour. Hallelujah. They are complete now as they begin to hear the truth. They marvel now as they hear these truths, as the truths begin to come forth in these last hours. These men of old, the prophets of old, marvel. And because they sought to hear these truths, but they did not hear them. But we hear these truths today. It is freely given to us on a platter of gold. Amen. So let us understand that the worship, amen, ceased right from the fall in the garden. Amen. The moment Adam partook of the fruit, Garden of Eden, what happens is that what? The worship ceased. Hallelujah. Go to Romans chapter 1 verse 23. Romans chapter 1 verse 23. He's talking about men in their transgression. And change, that's verse 1, chapter 1 verse 23, Romans chapter 1 verse 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen? Listen carefully. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Listen carefully. This is a very deep thing that Paul is saying here. Amen? What happened actually in the garden, and what actually happens as man finds himself slipping away in the Adam-like consciousness, is that the truth of God is exchanged into a lie, so that men worship and serve the Creator more than God, who is blessed forever. Amen? And when you serve the creature, when you turn your back on God and begin to worship the creature and serve the creature more than God, the Creator, what happens? This is the consequences of all the plagues and all the torments and all the destruction. It says the minds of men become darkened. Amen? And they are given reprobate minds. Amen? And they suffer the consequence of what? Death. The consequence of their slipping away from worshipping the true living God is what? Is death. Hallelujah. Is death. Amen? Hallelujah. The dead cannot praise God. Don't you read it in the Psalms? It says the dead cannot praise God. The dead cannot worship God. They cannot sing unto the name of the Lord. Amen? Because they are locked up in and confined in darkness, not knowing the truth. Hallelujah. But the hour is coming, and the hour is now, that the voice of truth is coming forth from the heavens to awaken men unto the truth. And what is the truth? And what is the spirit? What is the truth and what is the spirit? Hallelujah. The hour is coming when the true worshippers will worship God in spirit and in truth. No more according to the doctrines and traditions of men. No more according in that mountain or that mountain. No. Hallelujah. They shall worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. In other words, men that have now worshipped the lie, that have changed the truth of God into a lie, now have to change, go back, revert back to the truth. Hallelujah. Because in reality, that thing that happened in the Garden of Eden, when Adam took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, is that Adam now lived according to the flesh. Adam now identified himself according to the flesh. That's why he says, dust you are, dust you return. Amen. Hallelujah. He now identified himself with the mortal man, the outer body. Hallelujah. He now identified himself as one with this world. Amen. And as a result, he lost a knowledge of his true identity. He lost the knowledge of his true person. The truth, which is that one created in the beginning. Hallelujah. The truth is the Christ within. Is the Son of God within. Is the spiritual, undefined nature of God within each and every man. Hallelujah. Amen. But the hour is coming now. And as the hour is coming, so that men will hear this truth. Amen. The truth comes to awaken you from your ignorance. Hallelujah. It awakens you from your ignorance so that you will know the truth. Amen. The knowledge of the truth is what sets you free. It sets you free from the bondage of corruption. It sets you free from the lie. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ mentions this same word when he referred to the resurrection in John, the hour is coming. He uses this same particular phrase in John chapter 5, verse 25. From verse 25, it says, John chapter 5, from verse 25, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead we hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given me authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, hallelujah, in which all that are in their grave shall hear his voice, and he shall comfort they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Amen. Now listen carefully. It says the hour is coming, and now is coming, when the dead will hear their voice, the voice of the Son of Man. The dead are those who are dead in their sins and trespasses, in their transgression, from their states, from the knowledge of the truth into the lie. Those who are dead, not knowing who they are dead in the dust, in the grave of their flesh, that is, the dust of their flesh. These are those who are buried in the flesh, who walk according to the vanities of their five senses. These are those who walk according to the vanities of their mind. Amen. Hallelujah. So God brings an end to all this. Amen. God brings an end, you know, to that realm of death by bringing forth the truth. The truth comes to awaken you, comes to teach you, and causes you to arise from the lower parts of the earth, which is the dust. Hallelujah. Amen. And causes you to arise, because when you arise from the dead, you arise into the body, because there's only one resurrected being. God created only one person in the beginning. One person is known of God, and that is the Christ. So in the awakening, we find ourselves knitted together in one body, one spiritual body, one invisible body that has been from the foundation of the world. Amen. And it is that one body That is the truth. That is the spirit. It is the body of Christ. It's the Son of God. Hallelujah. The only way we can actually have true worship is to ascend, hallelujah, from the grave of humanity, to ascend from the lower parts of the earth into the Son. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Jesus Christ says that, I do the things that always please the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Once you walk and find yourself, you know, living in the Son, you automatically are a worshiper. You automatically worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Because the Son does the things that please the Father. The Son is always in a position to serve the living God. Because the Son sees the Father and serves him always. Without any limitations whatsoever. Amen. The Son knows the Father. Hallelujah. So, in spirit and in truth, is simply an awakening. Hallelujah. Entering into the truth. Living the lie of that carnal existence. Living the lie of the false identity that we've borne in this temporal material world. And arising into that eternal body. Hallelujah. Remember what Jesus Christ told the woman? When the woman asks about the Messiah, he says, I am he. I am the one that has been. I am the one. I am the Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the time has come for the people. Hallelujah. To worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In reality, as we worship the Father in spirit and in truth, we ascend up into a spiritual mountain. It is no more a physical mountain like in the days of old where the nations gathered at Jerusalem to worship God. It was like an ascension. The gathering at Jerusalem to worship the Lord was called the ascension. That is, they ascend. They go up to worship God. They go up to worship God in feasts like the Feast of the Tabernacle and all of that. And all the nations will gather there to worship the Lord. But today, these things are spiritual. Amen. Today, all we have to do is to arise. Hallelujah. From the lower realms of dust, ascend upon the mountain of God, which is Mount Zion. Hallelujah. These things come by belief. Amen. These things come by an awakening. Amen. Because upon Mount Zion, there is only one person. Hallelujah. The citizens are called Christ. It's one body. Hallelujah. Nothing unclean that defiles. Nothing that without the inscription of Christ upon it can enter into that city. It's a city of one king. Hallelujah. It's a city where the brethren are united in one body. Amen. It's one body. A spiritual body closely knitted together. Hallelujah. Amen. To form the body of Christ. Amen. It is that same body that has been before this material world came into existence. Amen. Everything that is created came out of that one. Amen. All things created came out of that one. In the fall, we worship the creature greater than him that is the creator. Hallelujah. And the creator is what? Is the Christ, who is the one and only eternal God. Amen. So worshiping God in spirit and in truth is to awaken from the lie into the truth. It's a shift from consciousness to consciousness. Hallelujah. From the consciousness of this dark and evil age into a consciousness of light in God's kingdom. Amen. The ascension is a shift from the lower parts, hallelujah, of our earthly identity into that one spiritual identity that is in the Son of God. Hallelujah. Even the prophets, of old prophesied that, you know, of a particular garden upon the mountain of God. Hallelujah. If you turn quickly to the book of Isaiah 27, verse 13, this is a message, a prophecy by Isaiah. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts of the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in his holy mountain at Jerusalem." Amen. Hallelujah. Now, a carnal man or a religious man will read this scripture and probably think that he will gather somewhere on a mountain in Zion. On a mountain in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, in this physical world here. Amen. Some people, they make arguments on TV. Some will say it's Mount Olive. Some will say it is this. Some will say it is that. Amen. But let us understand that these are prophetic, spiritual, you know, utterances that the prophets themselves did not understand. Because the great trumpet that will sound in that day is sounding right now. Once you begin to hear the truth coming forth from the throne of God, you are hearing the trumpet. It's a trumpet sound that is calling you to do what? To arise from the lower places, that is the dark places of the earth. Arise, Gentiles, from where you are perishing, and come to the place of life upon Mount Zion. Hallelujah. The trumpet comes to gather the outcasts, those who are in Egypt, in Assyria, those who are perishing in ignorance, in their sins and trespasses, those who are perishing in the lie, in the flesh and blood identity, who are perishing, hallelujah, in a false life after this temporal world, that they arise from the dead and come to their place upon Mount Zion. Hallelujah. That they arise from the earth and come to that place in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So that they can worship the Lord on the holy mountain of Jerusalem. Amen. It's not talking about Jerusalem in the Middle East. It's talking about the spiritual Jerusalem. Jesus Christ says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Amen. The kingdom of God, or the true Jerusalem, is a spiritual Jerusalem. It's a new Jerusalem upon a spiritual mountain. And we can only attain to that place as we ascend. Hallelujah. We ascend in our consciousness. Amen. And it's only as we ascend into that place, ascend and find ourselves in Christ, ascend and find ourselves in the Son, that we know what, that we really worship the Lord. That is what they call worship. Amen. Because that man, that is the Son of God, is created already in holiness. He's created already in perfection. Hallelujah. Isn't it written in Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4 says that, go to for verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanities of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanliness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you heard him." Hallelujah. Listen, if you have heard that voice of truth, if you have heard this trumpet sounding, this is what Paul is saying, "and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, then put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man which after God is created in your righteousness and true holiness, Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking everyone truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Listen carefully. Now, Paul talks about two realities. He talks about living the life of a Gentile. The life of a Gentile is the life that the nations of the earth live. It's the life, those people who are annihilated from the life of God. It's the Adam-like life, where people live according to the flesh, where people live according to the five senses. Hallelujah. It's a place, you know, it's a realm that men live in where you cannot please God. It's a realm that men live in where they are unclean in the sight of God, where they perish in the sight of God. But now Paul now talks about another group of people who have learned the truth, who have heard the truth, who have heard the voice of the Son of Man. Amen. And as they hear the voice of the Son of Man, what happens? They put off that old man of deceit, which is the man of the flesh, and they now put on their true identity. They now put on the spiritual man which is within, and now live according to that spiritual man. They speak according to from that spiritual man. Hallelujah. They hear from that spiritual man. They move in that spiritual man. Hallelujah. Amen. And Paul says that what? That man is created, God has created him what? Righteous and in true holiness. Listen to it. True holiness and righteousness is found only in that Christ within. It's found only in Christ. It's found only as we will find ourselves in Christ. It's not according to the doctrines and the various rituals of religion that litter the earth today. Do it this way, do it that way, touch not, wear this, wear that. Do this at one particular time and do this at no particular time. No. Amen. Hallelujah. So true worship is to wear Christ. True worship is to live in that body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And as we worship, as we ascend into this truth, like Paul says, we'll be discovered that we are one. We are what? We are members one of another. We are one body. One spiritual body. Hallelujah. How can you possibly love when you live two different identities? No. That true love that the world is seeking can only be found when we grow into one in the body of Christ. Out of Christ we are in pieces, but when we ascend upon Mount Zion, we are one. That's why it says how good it is when brethren dwell in unity. Amen. Your dwelling in unity does not come, you know, by all the things that we see in churches today or in houses of religion. No. Unity can only be achieved as you ascend upon the mountain of God. Hallelujah. So we have to ascend spiritually. Our consciousness has to be lifted so that we can put on the mind of Christ and live according to the true man created in holiness and in righteousness. Hallelujah. It's very important. I'm going to wind up with a prophecy from Zechariah. Amen. Hallelujah. A prophecy from Zechariah in chapter 14. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. Amen. And the Lord of hosts to keep the feast of tabernacle. Hallelujah. And it shall be that whosoever shall not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no what? No rain. Amen. He said, if you do not go up to worship, there shall be no what? No rain. Hallelujah. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, there shall be no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathens that come not to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment and the punishment of all nations that shall not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots of the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see if therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanites in the house of the Lord of hosts. Amen. Now these are prophecies. Like I said, these are prophecies that even the prophets did not understand. Zechariah here is talking about a future event. Amen. I'm saying a future event as at that point in time. But the time of the fulfillment of what Zechariah is saying is now. It has been from the revelation of Christ, from the moment Jesus Christ was revealed upon this earth, there has been, you know, this particular scripture is being fulfilled, is fulfilled, has been fulfilled, is being fulfilled, and will be fulfilled again, again, and again. Amen. It says that all nations shall come to worship the Lord upon what? Mount Zion. All nations shall come to worship the Lord at Jerusalem. Amen. All nations shall go up to worship the Lord upon Mount Jerusalem. Amen. And this is what the Lord seeks. Amen. It's a spiritual ascension. Everybody has to live their life, the life they've lived after the flesh, and begin to ascend into the life that is in Christ. They must all come to worship the King, which is Christ. They must come to recognize the King and join themselves to the King. Hallelujah. That is what worship is all about. Amen. And those who do not obey the voice or the call to worship in these last days, those who do not ascend, will not receive of the rain. What rain is he talking about? Amen. He talks about the refreshing of God. He talks about the eternal life of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He talks about the illumination of God. Rain comes to bring life. Without rain, there is no life. Amen. And that is why you see the condition of people at times can go from worse, from bad to worse. The conditions of people at times can go from bad to worse simply because you continue to hang on in the lie. Amen. Things don't work out for you anymore. Amen. Your life is turned around into a wilderness situation where there's no more joy, no more gladness, no more peace, and no more faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Where you are completely cut off from the life of God. When there is no rain, there is famine. You cannot bring forth fruits. You cannot eat. That's what they call starvation. Amen. You starve, and you know, there's a famine, and all these things bring about death. In the realm of death. Hallelujah. In Adam, the rain stopped falling. In Adam, you remember that water, he was cut off from the source of his river. That water is the water that watered his soul. Amen. That water is the water that, you know, gave him his satisfaction. Amen. It's the refreshing of the knowledge of the Lord. The refreshing effect of the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. So now you see, what do you call him? Adam living in a wilderness because he was cut off from that light. But Jesus Christ now is at that well, about to give us that same water again, so that we can now be satisfied, so that our souls can now prosper once more. Prosper in total satisfaction and in total peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Where everything works for good because you live in the knowledge of God. You live in the light of His presence. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So this message, true worship comes by recognizing the truth and joining ourselves in spirit and in truth. adjoining ourselves to the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 5, in the book of 1 John chapter 5, the last verses, John says that Jesus Christ has come. He's here right now. He's here in our midst in this moment to reveal to us the truth. Amen. And that he is the truth. He is the one that is from the beginning. Hallelujah. And as we join ourselves to him by faith, walking in the spirit, connecting ourselves back to that true identity in him, because he has come to reveal the fact that we actually are a part and parcel of him. So as we are working to this new reality, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We discover that we are one with the Father. We discover that we actually are that eternal life. We discover that we actually are that one and true God in Christ. Amen. These are not my words, but these are the words of the Father. These are the words of truth. Amen. To true worship, it's our ascension, our joining ourselves in truth. Amen. Our joining ourselves in the true spiritual body. Amen. Joining ourselves in one with the Father. Hallelujah. Canceling, destroying through the cross, the old man, and living according to the new man of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The voice of the Lord in this hour is that all should come. The moment is now that we should ascend up to his hill to receive of his life and of his blessings. Hallelujah. Let us worship the Father in spirit and in truth, recognizing the seed of Christ in each of us, recognizing our root in that one body, and living according to that one body. Amen.
We worship you.